In a dark world filled with deceit, one united voice is crying out. Revealing the truth of God's word. It's time to expose the hidden truth and unravel the lies. While we're living in Satan's little season, with Sister Crystal and Brother Phil.
Welcome to Living in Satan's Little Season show. We're your hosts,
Sister Crystal,
Brother Phil. Topic today, how long is eternal? You know, you think eternal is a long time, but you just never know, right?
Well, eternal is a lot longer than temporary and, you know, this lifetime.
Well, we're going to go over a couple of biblical words again. We're finding out there's a lot of these issues that happened with these Bible translators. Unfortunately, you know, they don't really translate a lot of these words very accurately in the English. And what we're trying to do is get you to understand what these words really mean.
Well, consistency is key. And if they were sticking with the same word in the Greek with the same English word, that would make sense. But they were kind of creative when they were using the same Greek word with different English words, and it kind of gets a little confusing.
And we're going to go over really two. They're essentially the same word. One's just an adjective form of the word, and the other one's maybe an adverb form of the word.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one, you know, one of them's translated a lot of times eternal or forever, and the other one is translated a lot of times eternally or an age or forever. So.
Okay.
It just depends on the context of how they translate these two words. And we're going to show you areas where they, you know, will have the same word multiple places, and then, of course, they'll translate it different. What are those two Greek words, okay? What are we talking about?
Aionios, and then aion.
Yeah, this is where we get the word, like, eon.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this is, you know, where you get eons ago. You know, we even have that word in English. Because it's this Greek word that we're using right here.
Right.
And we're going to read a scripture in Matthew that actually brings up this word when it comes to basically the righteous and the wicked. Okay. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. So let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And so we're going to read a little bit of this passage of scripture so you can get some context to see what's going on, because this word eon or whatever it's used here. Read Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 and 46.
Okay.
Go ahead and read that.
Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Okay, so we have that word a few places in here. One, it's used up here, the term everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's how you know that the lake of fire is the same as this everlasting fire that Jesus was talking about, because we know that's where the devil went.
Right.
So since the devil went there, so this place is also prepared for the angels as well, but we just don't know when they're, the Bible never tells us when they're going into that lake of fire.
Right.
Okay. But here Jesus mentions it, you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So not just the devil and his angels are going to be, is this lake of fire prepared for, but also anybody who does what the devil and his angels have been doing.
Right.
That's not caring for the, you know, neighbors and stuff like this. And this is pretty much what he's talking about here.
Right. You know, one thought I realized when we were talking about it before in other episodes about it not being a consuming fire, is that it's just like the fire of the burning bush.
Right.
It's just like that fire where the bush was a lit up, but it was not being consumed by the fire. So I really think this is like God fire. Like, it is God who's consuming, but you know, burning, but it's not consuming.
Well, he was also, when they were wandering around in the wilderness,
right, and he lit.
He was a fire at night.
Right.
And of course, I believe that was also a non-consuming fire as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's times where not all fire from the Lord is a consuming fire. It's more of a purifying fire.
Or a righteous fire, right, that is doing something purposeful.
How you treat your brothers and sisters, you know.
Right.
This is what Jesus is talking about here. See somebody hungry or thirsty or it's sick or imprisoned and, you know, you didn't minister to those people, okay? And of course, at the end, he says, and these, the people that didn't do what they should have done, that is, you know, love your neighbor and love your brother and love people that are struggling and stuff. You're not serving each other like
right.
he teaches here. This is why it's so important to follow the commands of Christ, because we need to be the kind of people that God wants us to be and not be heartless like the devil, which doesn't care about anybody else
right.
except for himself. Most people now, we've gotten to a society now that all we care about is ourselves now.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get out of that that concept, that idea, and get into an idea of, no, we need to start thinking and caring about others. And this is something that's so different than what our society is doing right now.
Right.
Okay, but at the end, of course, he has this word twice. Of course, they translated two different words in the English, but it's the same Greek word. Okay, it's amazing how these translators do that. He says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. Okay, so that word everlasting is how they translated the one word. But the righteous into eternal life. So here they use word eternal, same word as everlasting before. So everlasting and eternal essentially are synonyms,
right.
biblically.
Right.
I mean, the way that they're always translated according to these translators, there's absolutely no difference between using the word eternal and everlasting anywhere in the Bible, okay? Which is kind of confusing, because why don't they just use the same word consistently
right.
all the way through? Either choose one, mm-hmm. you know, pick your poison. Choose everlasting or choose eternal. I don't care which one you use. But don't be going back and forth with these words, because then people think that they mean something different than what they don't.
Right.
I mean, so, of course, that's serious, because everlasting fire or everlasting punishment, that sounds pretty bad, right?
Well, yeah, which one seems more brutal? Everlasting or eternal? Because if something...
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess if you think something is everlasting, it never quits.
Well, same with eternal. You kind of think that they don't ever die, you know.
But the idea is that, you know, nothing changes. It's going to keep going.
Yeah, you know, that's why I just wish they'd just be consistent, however they did it. And I'm sick of this kind of stuff that I have to expose on this show, of these translators doing this garbage, because it just confuses everybody.
Well, it just makes us have to be a lot more attentive and alert to understanding and seeing what the scriptures are actually teaching, and not just assuming that's what they're saying.
Okay, now we're going to go back in the Old Testament. Let's do that here real quick. Because on the law of Moses, okay, he gives... This word shows up in following the law. And this is in Exodus chapter 31. Go ahead and read that. Exodus 31, verse 17. Go ahead and read that one.
It is a perpetual covenant between me and the children of Israel. It is perpetual sign with me. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day he ceased and rested.
Okay, of course we know what he's talking about there. He's talking about of following and obeying the Sabbath day.
Right.
But here, that word eternal, that's translated eternal or everlasting in other places, they're translating it here perpetual, okay? That's what I'm saying. These translators, they're really creative. They keep translating all these words different. However, so he should have said here, it is an eternal covenant between me and the children. But you notice it here, this Sabbath keeping was only for the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I notice they specify this in numerous places in the Bible, that the following of the Sabbath wasn't for everyone all over the world. It was just for the children of Israel, really. And, of course, today we're not Israelites. We are, you know, we get grafted into Israel, but we're not. But, of course, that covenant gone and done for.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why I'm saying that word everlasting or eternal, or here they use the word perpetual, is only until it's over, according to God, and when he is done with that covenant. And we know what happened when he brought the new covenant in. He replaced that with the old covenant system. Right. So the old covenant system went away. This it would include the Sabbath keeping and other things like that. And now we have a new covenant that we're following. So let's go to John, famous John 3:16. We all know that one, right? Well, the word shows up again there. So we're going to start with verse 15 here. Go ahead and read that one again.
That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay, so here in verse 15, of course, they use the word eternal. And then in 16, they use the word everlasting, but essentially it's the same word. It's exactly the same Greek word. And so why they use two different words, I think it's just mainly, honestly, I just think the translators are just being more poetic, or, you know, they don't want it to be boring, just using the same word over and over again. So they want to make be. But you see, this is what I really don't like. I just want consistency in our Bibles, because the original reader is reading the same word both these places. And you and I, we're using different words, so we think, oh, maybe they mean something different when
right,
they don't. They
right.
don't mean anything different. Okay.
Right.
So when he's talking about that, he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's exactly right. We're going to have a life, an ageless life. He says it kind of again on John 3:16 at the end, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, it's same word, eternal, everlasting, eon life, age life. This is what he's really, really talking about here. So let's go ahead and move on here to, again in John. Okay, well, we're going to stick with John for a little bit, because John has a couple more. John 4:13-14. Let's go ahead and read that one, because this word shows up again.
Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.
Okay, and we know he's talking to the woman at the well there.
Right.
That's the famous woman at the well speech that he gave. Of course, you the word here, that the water he gives, and we know this water is, you know, is one that later on we notice showing up in Revelation. You know, water comes down and you
from
can drink freely from the throne of God. And this is kind of what he's talking about here.
Right.
I think this is a real thing. It's not just some fake, oh, well, you're going to have water that'll spring up, last forever. And so she was thinking, oh, this would be great. I don't have to come to this this well anymore. And what Jesus was talking about is really eternal life. He was really talking about that. So he goes into this one.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish into the eon. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Okay, so they're going to never perish. In other words, into the eon, that's another word for perish, and it lasts forever. They're going to never, ever die, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is the words used again. Of course, a lot of people use this to support eternal security, and I don't really want to get into that debate on this topic. But essentially, yeah, if you're listening to the Lord, obeying his voice, yeah, you're going to be safe and secure. That's the only thing you need to. In other words, it's the lost sheep are the ones that get in trouble.
Right.
And these are the ones that wander off from the shepherd. If you stay close to the shepherd and are obeying the shepherd's voice, you have nothing to worry about.
Right.
It's the people that wander off from the shepherd. Yeah, the problem that we have is we have a day and age where people are wandering away from the true shepherd and are following a false shepherd. And this is what deception's all about.
Right.
You know, so that's what's going on here. Okay, so let's go back again to Genesis. Genesis chapter 9. Okay, so this word's used here. Go ahead and read that one.
And the Lord God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I set between me and you, between every living creature which is with you for perpetual generation.
That word perpetual, same exact word, eon generations. In other words, it's going to be a perpetual covenant. The covenant that God made with Noah, that he was never going to flood the earth again,
right,
was essentially for all generations after that. And so, yeah, true to his word, he's been keeping that. Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and go to the last chapter of the Bible. You know, we went right from the first book of the Bible, and now we're going to go to the last book of the Bible. Okay. And this word shows up again. Okay, so it's, you know, this word's literally all littered all over the Bible. We could go on for days talking about this word, but I'm trying to hit like the main points here. So let's go to Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible. Verse 4, go ahead and read that one.
They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Okay, so it uses the word twice, actually. When they double up that word, it really does mean, I guess, in the way you would say it, is it really would mean forever.
Uh-huh.
Because if you say forever and forever, so it's like, in other words, they use eons of eons. So in other words, it's an eon of eons. So in other words, there's no end to that. I really do think that means forever. That phrase shows up in different places around the Bible, too, this forever and ever. Well, we would never need to use that in our English vernacular, because to us, forever, it means forever and ever.
Right.
See, this is what I'm trying to get you. But see, forever doesn't always mean forever. But see, when they say forever and ever, then that means forever. It's so confusing, because when we hear this word, forever, we're thinking, well, there's no end to that one. But that's not what that word means. In the original reader wouldn't understand that. But see, when they hear the word forever and ever, then that would mean, oh yeah, there's no end to that one. Okay, let's go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 12, and this word's used again. Different English words. Oh, you know, that's what these translators always do. They're always throwing in all these different words. It's the same Greek word here. Go ahead.
Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age or in the age to come.
Okay, that word age they use there, that means forever.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's put forever in there and see how that sounds. Because if you put forever in there, then that wouldn't make any sense. Okay, so he says, neither in this forever or in the forever to come. Mm-hmm. No, that wouldn't make sense if we mm-hmm. to say it that way. See, this is why they have to translate it different words. See, this is why I really don't see that the word doesn't mean what we think it means. This word forever. It doesn't mean forever as in, like, never, no end in sight, because why would there be an a forever and then a forever to come? That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So it just, essentially what it does, it means an age. But if you say to ages of ages, which is forever and ever, then yeah, okay, that makes more sense. That actually could mean forever.
Right.
Which is, I really do think that one actually does mean forever. Right. The way that we would understand the word forever as in no end in sight, it's going to last forever. That's why a lot of these things that they talk about in the Old Testament use that word, like the Sabbath day one.
Right.
It was only for that age that they were living in, which was the age of the old covenant system.
Right.
When the new covenant system came in, that was the next age. And this is what Jesus is referring to here. He says, neither in this age or the age to come. So he was declaring that this age was going to end, the age that he was in.
Right.
And there was going to be a new age to come. So this is why he was declaring the next age is not going to be the same as this age that they were living in right now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go ahead and read that one.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Okay, so again, the disputer of this age. See, again, this is how they're translating that word. You wouldn't say the disputer of this forever. See,
or of this everlasting.
See, this is why this really word should be translated, this word age, all over the place, because that's really what this word means. But a lot of translators don't want to do that. They want to make it sound more, oh, this is going to go on forever, when that really word doesn't necessarily mean that, but it can mean that, but it doesn't always mean that. It just depends on the context. And that's why I say, well, wait a minute now. Are you trying to say my eternal life isn't going to be eternal? It's just going to be an age? Well, see, we're going to get to that here in a minute. But no, I think that it will be ageless, because we're going to have access to that tree of life.
Right.
And having access to that tree of life will give us the ages of ages that will allow us to live forever, essentially. Okay, so let's go ahead and read the next one, Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Go ahead and read that one.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so he uses the word a couple times here. Actually, three times.
Right.
In this passage of scripture here. Again, he says, the evil, this present age. That's why I'm saying we're living in a dark forever or a dark age right now. What an age of, you know, wickedness is running rampant, and a lot of people are turning their back on God, turning their back on Christ. We live in a very wicked generation, what I call a very dark age, just like Paul was talking about there.
Right.
Okay. This is exactly the same this way this word is used. And this age will come to an end eventually. Mm. Now, we don't know when that's going to be, but in the meantime, we've got to stick to our ground and just keep fighting. But it says, this evil age, according to the will of our Father, God the Father, whom be glory forever and ever. See, that word forever and ever, it shows up numerous times, and that really does mean what we would say forever.
Okay. Right.
So when that word shows up, these phrase forever and ever, ages of ages, then that would really mean forever, I would say. And that's my own take on that. Okay, let's go ahead and read the next one, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 12.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Okay, so that word age again shows up. See, they're using it a lot of times to just mean eternal life. It just, you know, like John, like we read John 3:16. This word is the same word used in John 3:16. For eternal life. But here, it's not describing eternal. Okay, here it's just saying this: the darkness of this forever. Now, it wouldn't be they wouldn't use the word this forever because he says this age, the darkness of this age.
Yeah.
So, in other words, the age they're living in right now. So, again, see, this is why I really don't like the way the translators, they need to always use this word age to really translate this word all the way through, because this is really what this word really means.
Right.
And if you use the word eternal, it doesn't make sense in a lot of these places. In Revelation chapter 14. Okay, this is, you know, talking about like the, you know, the Armageddon events and whatnot. So go ahead. Verse 9 there.
Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.
Okay, so we already talked about this idea that the smoke of their torment, okay? The word torment does not mean torture,
okay?
In other words, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The people that went along with, you know, following the image and all that kind of stuff and taking the mark. And of course, this is a past event. This happened way in the past, okay? This has happened in 70 AD, right around in that area where, you know, everybody was having to make their choices. But we understand what's going on here. Here he says here that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in other words, wherever they're at, which, you know, I believe they're on basically somewhere else, it's going to ascend into heaven forever and ever. So in other words, it's not like God smells their sacrifice. They become essentially sacrifices.
But they're not a consumed sacrifice.
Right. They're not being consumed,
right,
because they're just being tormented there.
Mm-hmm.
It's their torments are the ones that is what's causing that ascends. It's their not wanting to be in that area, not wanting to do what God would want them to do. They don't want to do what God's will.
Right.
They wanted to reject God. And this is what they got, okay? And so this is their punishment for rejecting God. And, of course, here it says it ascends forever and ever.
We don't know for however long that will last, because we do know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Right.
So at some point, their is going to be ceasing to have them
like a fire,
like a fire. Right?
Well, yeah, and that's why I'm saying here that it's you notice it doesn't say they're going to be there forever and ever. No. It just says their smoke,
right?
Well, of their torment. So in other words, however long they're going to be there,
right,
the smoke of their torment will go up to heaven forever. In other words, that'll appease God forever.
That could also be the smoke from also the beast and the false prophet and, you know, the devil. But the thought I thought, I'm listening to you think, you know, then thinking about this lake of fire. And what does fire do? It burns off the impurities.
Right.
Maybe the reason why they're going to have to be in the lake of fire for however long is until all their impurities are burnt off. But the beast, the false prophet, and the devil always will have impurities. So they will never be redeemed.
That kind of sounds good. They're the only three that says they're going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever.
Right.
It doesn't say anybody else is actually going to stay in the lake of fire forever and ever. They're the beast, the false prophet, and the devil are the only three individuals that we know of.
Right.
That are going to stay in the lake of fire forever and ever. Everyone else, we don't know how long they're going to be there. I think it varies depending on, you know, how wicked, evil you are.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Impurities. Yeah. It might take a while for people's impurities to burn off.
Yeah, so, you know, like I say, everybody has a different judgment.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to judge everyone according to what they've done. Some people's judgment's going to be worse. You know, it's you get a prison sentence. The way I look at it, it's like a prison sentence. Not everyone goes into prison gets exactly the same prison sentence.
Right.
Some people do much more heinous crimes and get a very stiff prison sentence. Other people, you know, they're small timers. They're only in there for a little while. You know, I think it's going to really kind of be like that when it comes to the judgment day when it comes up.
Right.
It just all depends on every individual situation that comes around. But notice it just didn't say they're going to be there in the lake of fire forever and ever. It just says that the smoke of their torment will ascend forever and ever.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that they're going to actually be there. It means, that might appease God of their getting rid of their impurities forever and ever. That's kind of what that sounds like to me.
Right.
Okay. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Genesis chapter 3, the Garden of Eden. Okay, let's go ahead and read that one here, because this shows up again. Okay, let's go ahead and read, start with verse 22. Go ahead.
And God said, "Behold, Adam has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest at any time he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat, and so he shall live forever." Eon. So the Lord God sent him from forth out of the garden of delight to cultivate the ground out of which he was taken, and he cast out Adam and caused him to dwell over against the garden of delight, and stationed the cherubim and the fiery sword that turns about to keep the way of the tree of life.
Okay, the garden of delight, which is Garden of Eden, essentially. The word Eden means delight or delicacy, in other words.
Right.
That's what that word really means. But the point is here it says that the tree of life was the key, apparently, to Adam's eternal life.
Right.
And by him not having access to that tree is what allowed him to not have eternal life at that point.
Had he already eaten out of that from the tree?
You know, we don't know.
Okay.
The point is,
it doesn't sound like he had.
It doesn't sound like you even have to eat that tree daily. Probably just maybe every once in a long while. But it somehow does something to rejuvenate. And so God's designed a system in play, of course, to where you have to eat of that tree occasionally. That's the reason why it's going to show up in, it's going to be only that tree. It's going to show up in New Jerusalem. And of course, under guard.
Right.
Only the righteous will have access to that tree.
Right.
If you're wicked and you have no access to the tree, you're going to be like Adam, not gaining access to the tree, and you're going to end up dying again.
Right.
But if when he had access to that tree, as long as you have access to the tree of life, that you are going to live the way we would describe forever. Okay. Because that's what it kind of says there. Take the tree of life and eat, and so shall live forever. That word forever is the same exact word.
Right.
Age. In an ageless life, I think that's kind of what's described there, you know. An aged life. In other words, he won't age. He'll just continue to stay the same age all the way through his life. And he won't ever die. We are living in an age where we want to have access to that tree, because I believe at the resurrection, if we're going to have bodies similar to that of Adam. As long as we have access to the tree of life, we have ageless life. But if we don't, which is all the people on the outside, they will not have access to that tree of life, and so they will eventually die.
Right.
Which is what it kind of describes there. So this is why, you know, I'm trying to get people to understand this is what's at stake going on here. God's designed a system in play, and what we have to do is we got to understand what's going on here. Of course, we know that the New Jerusalem is going to be this huge garden city. Just like the Garden of, it's going to be a renewed Garden of Eden, except for it's going to be much huge with, instead of one angel guarding the garden, it's going to be 12 angels.
Right.
Okay. We already had a show on that already, but the point is this is what he's describing here. We need to have access to that tree of life in order to live forever. Mm-hmm. And of course, the righteous are going to.
Right.
No problems. It's the wicked that don't get access to that. In other words, the greatest gift that God has ever given, which is eternal life, they're not going to get that gift.
Right.
This is the gift everybody really wants. The devil, the wicked forces of this world, you know, they love to give out these temporal gifts right away to their people. Oh yeah, money, fame, whatever. But they can't give out the greatest gifts.
Right.
Greatest gift you got to wait for. That is eternal life. This is what we're going for here. Okay, I'm going to read a couple more here in Revelation. Let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 2, verse 7.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the scripture says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Okay, and that's, of course, to the church of Ephesus that was written to. Of course, we know that all the churches got that. But the point is here, the tree of life, you have to have access to that tree to live forever. The condition is you have to overcome and to get access to the tree of life. See, that's what it says here. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. See, you have to overcome. This is why I'm trying to tell people all the time. Yes, we live in a very dark age, but we got to overcome.
Right.
We've got to make it through. It's not like we can't quit. We can't give up on our life. We've got to keep going. Mm-hmm. And of course, the paradise of God. You know, God already, the paradise was in Eden. That was the first paradise, same exact word that describes Eden as being a paradise. The paradise is back at the very end.
Right.
In New Jerusalem as the paradise of God, a garden city with the tree of life there. I mean, it's going to be an amazing, streets of gold. I mean, it's like we're going to be living. It's like it doesn't matter how you live now. It only matters is that. That's
right.
The only thing that's going to matter. Because that's what we're going for. We're going for eternal life in a garden city. Things are going to be beautiful and things are going to be wonderful. Mm. But we've got to endure to the end of this life.
Right.
And it, trust me when I say it will be well worth it.
Right.
But people a lot of times struggle with all that. Okay, so let's go ahead and read one last verse. Before we close off today, Revelation chapter 22, we're going back to the last chapter again. Verse 14, go ahead and read that one.
Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city.
And we know what city that is. That's New Jerusalem. That's what this is what we're going for here.
Right.
In conclusion, the way you gain ageless life, the way you do it is, you got to, as he said before, overcome.
Right.
And you've got to be, what does he say here? You've got to do his commandments.
Right.
The commandments of Christ.
Be obedient to God and his word.
Yeah. He wants us to follow Christ's teachings.
Right.
His commandments. He's our Lord. Christ is our Lord. When he says this, we need to do something, we need to do it. And because, you know, what did he do? He did all that stuff. It's not like he was like, you know, some kind of a hypocrite, like, oh, I'll just tell you to do all this stuff and I'm not going to do it myself. No, he did all that stuff too. So this is what we need to be doing. He's just saying, here, I'll show you how to do it and you can do it too. That's all we got to do. Because, you know, we're living in a dark age right now, an age of wickedness, a dark forever. But it's not forever. It's just an age we're living in. And this is what we got to recognize. This age isn't going to last forever. It only lasts until God, as long as God says it's going to last. We're living in Satan's little season, not only because it's biblical,
but because it's the only thing that makes sense.
Join or contact us at satanslittleseason.org. This is a non-copyrighted Living in Satan's Little Season production.